Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Be holy. We're going to read again verses 13 to 16 because it's one sentence. And today we will focus on verses 15 and 16. Let us read verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so it is, we're going to focus on verses 15 and 16 today. Let us pick up our study there. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Last week, he had said, don't fashion yourself after the world. Don't be like that. But rather, the other end of the spectrum, be holy. Christian growth. Change. Don't be like that. He wants us to change and come out of that world. In other words, put off sin and put on new behavior. But we have to learn. But I think it's interesting too. What did he say just before this? Before he said, don't be like the world, but rather be holy, what did he say before it? Establish your thinking. Go through the doctrines, verses 1 through 12, and realize just who you are in Christ. Therefore, get your thinking under control. Look at verse 13. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope. We've already studied this. Base your thinking, your convictions, on who you are in Christ. And when you get that established, it's a good beginning and a good foundation for true Christian growth and a life pleasing to God. This is in alignment with Paul's teaching. Let us compare. Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, starting at chapter 4, verse 22, that ye, you believers in Ephesus, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Stop doing this old behavior when you were unsaved. Peter said, don't fashion yourself after the world. Paul says, put off the old man. Don't act like that, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. He says in verse 24, put on new behavior. That's what Peter says. Be holy. But what does he say in the middle? Paul says in verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What did Peter say? Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Hope. Both men are saying, in essence, the same thing. Get your thinking under control. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. Be holy. Not only if you feel like it. God expects Christians to be holy. Paul said it in his book to the Romans, chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Holiness is not automatic. Is that not obvious from the flow of this text? When a Christian is born again, he is saved by faith in Christ alone and his shed blood and work of redemption on the cross to take the place of the sinner. And when we put our faith in that work of Jesus Christ, we're born again. But now we must grow. It is not automatic that we do good works and become holy. It is now something we have to apply ourselves to. Otherwise, why would Peter be writing this? Come on, get your thinking under control. Realize who you are. Come on, let's obey authority. Come on, let's not live like the world. Come on, let's be holy. Stop this behavior. Put on this behavior. Why did Paul say, I beseech you, I entreat you, I invoke you. Come on, put off that behavior. Stop acting like that and start acting like this. There are some that would teach that when you're saved, you will serve and you will change. I beg to differ. Otherwise, why is it here? Peter says, come on, think right, obey authority, don't live like the world and be holy. If it was automatic, he wouldn't have to say these things. We would just naturally do it. A lot of people go down to the local health club and join. And they have the card that says, I am a member. And they never show up. That's how Christians can be. Yes, I'm a card-carrying member, but I'm still out of shape. I'm a member. I'm a Christian. But I'm not growing. I'm not changing, but I'm a Christian. Keep that illustration in mind because I think that well says that point. Not all believers are truly growing in the Lord. God is serious about believers being holy. So much so, he commanded it. We should be serious about being holy. Why should we be holy? But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy. Number one, because God's holy. That's why we ought to be holy. Simply because he's holy. If nothing else, we are to be holy because God is holy. And I want you to think about the context. Peter is writing to scattered believers, particularly in Asia Minor, part of the Roman Empire. And he is writing to these people who are being persecuted. They have lost their homeland. And he says, be holy. I want you to think about this. Be holy. He is saying to them, remember the doctrinal truths in verses 1 through 12? Establish your thinking. Be obedient. Don't be like the world, but be holy. Now I want to say it again in a different light. In the midst of all your trials, with all of your problems, remember doctrinal truths, who you are spiritually. Establish your thinking. Be obedient. Don't be like the world and be holy in the midst of your trials. You see, too many times, well, when you take this away, when this is over, then I will change. If only God would take this away, then. No, God says, be holy now. 1 Peter 2:13. He is writing to scattered believers in the Roman Empire. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Now, do you think these scattered believers were totally pleased with the Roman government? I don't think so. But I want you to think about this. They have a government that they're not totally pleased with. They are to remember doctrinal truths, who they are in the Lord. They are to establish their thinking. They're to be obedient. They're not to be like the world. They're to be holy in the midst of a government that they're not real happy with. How about 1 Peter 2:18? Servants, employees, maybe we would say today, be subject to your master or boss, we would say today, with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, obnoxious and arrogant boss. In the midst of all of your frustrations, you can't stand your job. The boss is totally obnoxious. Remember the doctrinal truths, who you are spiritually. Let that establish your thinking. Be obedient. Don't be like the world and be holy. How about wives with disobedient husbands? 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word. But you don't understand, my husband is absolutely out of control. Remember who you are in the Lord. Establish your thinking. Be obedient. Don't be like the world and be holy. I understand. We already studied this. There came a time they had to scatter. First and foremost, believers are to not have a bunch of excuses. First and foremost, they're to submit. This is what Peter says. They are to remember doctrinal truths in the midst of their trials. Those truths should establish your thinking. Believers are to be obedient. Don't fashion yourself like the world and be holy. In other words, don't let life's frustrations and circumstances give you an excuse why you're not holy. But I don't like so-and-so, or this person wronged me, blah, blah, blah. You know what? You're probably right. That person did wrong you. Amen. Now what? We need, as Christians, first and foremost, to submit and to do right We're not allowed to wait until life circumstances change for us to change. We should find joy, peace, and holiness in the midst of all of our circumstances and trials, because there will always be frustrations and trials in this life. I want you also to notice this with this command to be holy. He tells these believers to be holy with no promise of promotion or anything in result. Now, I know we can read other things in the scriptures as we would put scripture together, that God does bless and honor our obedience as we become holy. And He cares for us. Yes, He provides for our daily needs. As a church, we look forward to heavenly blessings and rewards. I understand that. But first and foremost, you know what Peter says? Just you grow and be holy because God wants you to, with no expectation of anything in response. I want to serve you, God, and be pure simply because you are, and I want to please you, with no expectation in anything in return. Now, again, we could do a study on rewards, and it would be just and true. And God does offer us and tell us of rewards in heaven. But I want you to think about this. There is no promise of promotion. Well, if I start to grow in the Lord, then I will be Sunday school teacher, elder, deacon, then I will be music director, then I will get this job, then no promise. Did you know back in Genesis when Joseph was in Egypt in bondage and oppression, there was no explanation to him. He just was to do right. If God wants to elevate you, that's His business. But we're not supposed to be holy to get something from God. We're supposed to first and foremost be holy because God wants us to be holy, because He's holy. The reward of the believer is that we please God first and foremost. He does care for us. And we can look forward to rewards in heaven, but on this earth, maybe some of you will get promoted, maybe some of you won't. That we leave in God's hand. What is holy? By definition, it's sacred, pure, morally blameless, consecrated. In other words, we are free from sin. That's the goal. See, we've got the spectrum again. On one end, Peter says, don't be like the world, which is a fallen creation. The other end of this spectrum is be holy, which is what? Totally free from sin. This is what we are to be. Consider again Peter's big picture. Think right. Obey authority. Don't be like the world. Be like Christ, or be holy. Don't have any excuses why. I want us to think about a man who did dedicate himself to be holy, Moses. When we think back to the life of Moses, when we think of the character of Moses, we think of a man greatly used by God. Want to be used greatly by God? Amen! Well, then let's look at what a man like this did. And see, maybe I could pattern myself after his type of dedication. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, when he was come to years, he was in total control of his thinking. I am accountable to God. And I am looking around me. And I am seeing life circumstances as they have unfolded before me. He obviously had no choice to be put in a basket. He was a baby. He floated down the Nile River and by God's divine hand became part of Pharaoh's house. As Pharaoh's daughter found him and brought him in. And he came to his own and he realized, I am a Jew. Those are my people. And he said, what am I doing in Pharaoh's house? And he wanted to be everything he could for God, and he said, I will no longer be part of this house. Pastor Holler, do you really think people should be willing to give things up in this life to be pure before God? Tell me what it says. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Do you think that brought heat on him? Do you think that just made, oh, the Egyptians, no problem, Moses, just go ahead. I bet they called him a fool. I'll bet they thought it was the stupidest thing he could have ever done. You're going to give up all this? Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to give it up. I'm going to give up a life of ease. because I believe my God is worth more. Choosing rather, he made a conscious decision to give up the palace of Pharaoh and the power therein. Choosing rather to suffer affliction. And this guy was a nutcase, wasn't he? No, he was a godly man. Christian, are you willing to give anything up for God? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. It means more to me to go out there, those Jews who are in slavery, suffering. I will willfully give this up and suffer affliction than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. If God wants me to do this, I will do it. He rejected earthly pleasures and status to please God for spirituality's sake. Esteeming or valuing the reproach of Christ. Do you value the reproach of Christ? But they're going to think I'm nuts. People aren't going to like me. And on and on and on. He says, I would rather have that. I would rather esteem the reproach of Christ as greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. All the money this world has to offer. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. God will take care of me. Moses recognized that spirituality was of greater value than anything this world could offer. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Christian, what are you willing to give up? Or there are things you're going to cling to. Not fearing the wrath of the king. Did you get that? Do you realize if I make this decision, that man has the power to take my life? Not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. I'll put up with it. As seeing him who's invisible, do you see the unseen? Folks, we're not of this kingdom. We're passing through. We're pilgrims in a tired land. And we're to tell people about our kingdom. Choose rather to suffer with God's people than all that this world has to offer. Oh, I can't give that up. You know, I really don't see that in the scriptures, Pastor Holler. Give it up! For God's sake, give it up! Moses forsook his former life and took on a new life. Is that not in alignment with Peter and Paul? Gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, when he was come to years, he got his thinking under control. He saw who he was in Christ. And that's laid the bedrock for his decisions. And he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, he not, according to 1 Peter 1:14, he was not fashioning himself according to the former lusts in his ignorance. I'm not going to live like this anymore. I'm going to dedicate myself. He chose holiness. He chose rather to suffer affliction and reject the pleasures of sin. 1 Peter 1:15 says, but as he which is called you is holy, be holy in all manner. I've got to get out of this situation. This is not good that I am in this palace. I would do better for spirituality to go out there among God's people who are in bondage. What are we willing to do for holiness? We must base our life on Scripture and nothing else. Consider the children of Israel back in the book of Judges. What did they base their lives on? In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And what is the theme of the book of Judges is disaster after disaster after disaster. Do you know why? Because Proverbs 16:2 tells us what happens when you write in your own eyes. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. So you think this, well, this is okay, and you think this is okay, and you think this is okay. And Peter says you better base yourself upon doctrinal truth and let that form your thinking. Because every way of a man is clean in his own eyes, but God is weighing our spirits. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Not just on Sunday morning. All the time. In everything. That word conversation, we would translate it better today, behavior. All of your behavior. And obviously Peter has already covered our foundational thinking. Now be holy in all of your behavior. Get your thinking in line with Scripture. Now get your behavior in line with Scripture. Every aspect of a believer's life is to be dedicated to God. Let us go back again in one of the verses we've already looked at, Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. How much of an Old Testament animal was sacrificed? All of it. They didn't cut off the front leg and sacrifice it and say, well, I want to withhold some. You sacrificed all of the animal. We are to be a complete sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable. Reasonable. There's nothing unreasonable about it. All aspects of our lives are to be holy before God. Holy, sinless, that's the goal. And holiness is not outward compliance only. It's the inward man. Get your thinking under control. If you are only holy in outward compliance, you will be very frustrated in your Christian life. Verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Because it's written, who's he writing to? Primarily scattered Jews. He's referencing back to the Old Testament. Remember, the Jewish system is done away. The Jews are scattered. And it's now a church age. They could be doubting this, shall we say, new religion. Is this right? Were we deceived? Is this new church thing okay? What about the Jewish system? Several times in the Old Testament, it says, be holy. I couldn't give you them all for space sake. You might want to note, though, Leviticus 11:44 and 45. Leviticus 19:2, Leviticus 20:26, and here's the one that I gave you, Leviticus 20, verse 7. Sanctify yourselves, set yourselves apart, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. He repeats himself. Be holy! It's written, you scattered Jews, in the Old Testament writings. He said this. It still pertains today. Peter, linking them back. Yes, God was frustrated and angry with the Jews because they were not the light and the salt that they were to be. So he put them on the shelf for a time to go to the Gentile in the church age, where Jew and Gentile are now one in Christ Jesus. And he's saying it's still the same. Be holy. Do you realize in these first opening verses of Peter, this is the third time he references the Old Testament to these Jewish people? It had to be a comfort to them. Look at your verses. In 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood. And we studied that. The Jews had the high priest go in and would sprinkle the blood in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. A direct reference back to what the high priest would do. How about in verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, of which salvation the prophets, going back to the Old Testament, the Jewish prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied. The second reference to the Old Testament. And the third reference, of course, because it is written. Well, where's it written? It's written in the Old Testament. No, you scattered believers, don't doubt. If I can use the expression, the new religion that you're in. God has gone from the Jew and is the Jew and the Jewish system and is now using the church. It's okay. It all links back. We can learn much from the Old Testament. And Peter wants these people to be holy so that nothing will frustrate the work of God. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, pay attention. The Lord's hand is not shortened that he can't save, neither his ear heavy that it can't hear. Then why isn't he answering? Your iniquities, your sin, you're not holy, have separated between you and your God. Your sins are breaking down your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Be holy. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Be holy. They failed to be holy and they were suffering the consequences of it. For I am holy. Holy, the only attribute of God that is listed three times in succession in the Scriptures. Let us consider what Isaiah experienced when he was given a vision into the heavenly, if you will, the throne room of God. And he saw these incredible spiritual beings around the throne of God. And in Isaiah 6 verse 3, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. And what was his reaction when he truly saw the holiness and righteousness of God? Oh, then said I, woe is me, I am undone. A man, earthly speaking, who was so qualified God would give him a vision to heaven, his conclusion was, how undone I am. Oh, if we could truly appreciate the holiness of God. Woe is me, I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King. I truly have a glimpse of what holiness is, and I'm not it. Folks, be holy. Cry unto God. Learn lessons from Moses. Since God is holy, how much sin does he tolerate? None. If he wants us to be holy, how much sin should we tolerate? None. Now, we'll never achieve this here on this earth. I understand that. But it's our goal. And there is a difference between your Christian life where you stumble along the way and we confess, and an out-and-out disregard to respond to the conviction to purge your life to known sin that God has convicted you of. If you know to do something and don't do it, it is great sin. You can hide it from us. You can't hide it from God. Don't be surprised. Therefore, your sins have separated you from your God, that he will not hear. We must not tolerate any sin in our life. What is a truly holy person? I think we can look at the life of Moses and glean truths from that. But let us look at Peter. In summary, in the big picture, let us remember who we are spiritually. Let us control and base our thinking upon who we are. Let us submit to authority. Let us not fashion ourselves after the world, and let us dedicate ourselves to a heavenly Father who is truly holy. But where does it all begin? Those are all Christian growth principles. Let us not impress Christian growth upon salvation, because there will be great confusion if we do. Let this hand represent you and me, and let this billfold represent sin. Every person that is born into this earth is born a sinner, because we get that sin nature right from our parents, because they are part of the fallen creation from Adam and Eve. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. As long as we have that sin on us, as long as it is not dealt with, we will spend an eternity of hell if we die with that on us. But God is not willing that any should perish, because he loves us. He made the way so simple, because he did all of the work. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21. By his work, we could be made the righteousness of God. If you're as righteous as God, can you go to heaven? I would certainly think so. By believing in him, that he paid our sin debt. He rose again after 3 days in that grave, showing the debt was paid. When we believe that, we have eternal life. For God so loved the world, the sinful world, that he gave his only begotten Son to pay the sin debt, that whosoever believes, that's it, believe, should not perish, but have everlasting life.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.